go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Okay, then, we're all set. 1 minute past the hour. It is the fourth day. The fourth day of August 2016. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And that's where you go if you want to jump over into the chat room and join the multimedia madcap zany extravaganza that is Horn Chat. You will be met there by longtime inveterate indefatigable chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, still has not folded space because it's actually hotter in Northern California than it is in the deep desert of Arrakis, Dune, the desert planet. And thus he is not man-cave. You will also be met by longtime veteran, somewhat fatigable, veteran occasional chat room moderator Texas Betsy, who is not a third stage guild navigator. Right. But, okay, so we're clear on that. Hoghead will say hi, and Jug of Punch will say hi, and Steve from Georgia Stan, along with Miss Karen and Cletus. Hi, Cletus.
She's a good baby. Oh, she's such a good sweetheart. Yes, she is.
We'll say howdy. Mm-hmm. And more folks will as well as they wander into the room. Let's see. It is, it's Thorn in the Side Thursday here. And of course, those are days for taking note of and sometimes occasionally deconstructing attempted right-wing cogitation on the interweb tubes. Those thorns, you know, the ones that make us sometimes go, ow! Brother Deacon Asa says maybe we ought to consider adding a Confederate chat room moderator as well. No, let's don't and say we didn't. But, okay. Thank you very kindly, Randy and PA, letting me know loud and clear on iTunes on my Mac, Bob. Good. Good. We are getting through. All right. Program. No. I don't think so. There was something approaching a near riot over that. Steve from Georgia Stan asking, more Pat Boone medal tonight, Bob? No. Chris in Germany dropped me a note to say, just got done listening to last night's program. Thanks for the Pat Boone rusted ice pick through my eardrum. I know. It just wouldn't end, would it? It would not end. And the moment that I realized that it was a shameless ripoff as well, a Lounge Lizard's ripoff of Phil Harris Into the Bargain, well, there are things up with which I will not put. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Like I said, fourth day of August, 2016. Program notes going forward. This is a two-hour program. I did not get a chance to tell you that earlier because I didn't know until just a little bit ago, but about 8 p.m. I'll be knocking off to get everything reorganized and recalibrated and make sure the flageolet is properly meshing with the Knuten valve, because come 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'll be sitting in this evening for Mike and Kathy. Mike's having a devil of his time keeping his throat and thus his voice working. So the better part of valor seems at this point in time to be for Mike to hit the rack, rest, relax, and come back nice and strong. So we'll knock off at 8 and then restart at 9 over on the Progressive Voices Malloy stream. Does that work for y'all? I hope it does. I like to help out where I can, because Mike and Kathy are dear, dear, dear friends, and there's a lot of crossover between the truth seekers and what our buddy Scott in Sweden lovingly refers to as the hornies. Randy says, please tweet that at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, as someone like me might have missed the first program. Yeah, I don't know, maybe during the break, during the music or something, because, I mean, I multitask the daylights out of this program. I just don't know if I can add in another layer. But having mentioned our buddy Scott, birthday wishes go out to our buddy Scott. I hope you have had a happy, happy, happy birthday, even though, today is tomorrow, tomorrow is today, because Scott's about 6 hours out in front of us. I'm not sure. But anyway you slice the birthday cake, I hope it was a happy birthday, Scott. Let's see, program notes. Okay, so that takes care of that. Ah, fundraising. How could I forget? I wish I could. This evening's fundraising goal, we ended last night with a fundraising goal for this evening of $305 even. And that means, that was a high hurdle. But you know what? Thanks to Horn subscribers, yes, thanks to Horn subscribers, it is no longer $305. Because we have monthly subscribers here. And they really, really do save the day. That includes Texas Betsy. As well as our buddy Jug of Punch. Mm-hmm. And Jules. And Catherine. So, all told, that means that we can start the evening at $260 instead of $305. And that makes a real difference. So, 10 at $26.50, 26 and a half people at 10, that doesn't really work. We'll round that up to 27 people. I mean, I don't want anybody getting all Solomonic on us out there. So, yeah, we did knock it down. Randy said $305. I thought that we had knocked that goal down. Right, but it's $200 every evening, and we finished the night at $105. So, last I checked, $200 plus $105. Yeah, $305. So, we're at $260. And we'll call it 27 at 10. 10 at 27. Etc. One at 260, two at 130, four at 65, eight at 3250, and after that my head starts hurting. So if you would like to help out, go over to headonradionetwork.com, click on the contribute tab, and there you'll see the fields that you fill out. And I cannot emphasize enough that a subscription doubling offer open for, courtesy of Brother Deacon Gerald of the Building and Grounds Committee. One of those got filled, and there's one more to go. So that
at $10. But I cannot emphasize how helpful it is to have the subscribers, because they wind up making up a big chunk of the fundraising when we wind up in a hole. And I know for a fact that one of our longtime supporters, Joan, is, because I got an email from her. Hi, Joan. Is going to have to be changing her level of support, so that would be helpful. But subscribers are hugely helpful. So just click that little box and then move on. Otherwise, just fill out the rest of the form, except for the question about what you do, while you're wearing that red shirt aboard the Starship Enterprise, and how much the Federation pays you to do it. Hey, we've never had that obligatory Star Trek reference on the program before. How about no? And just get to the next screen. That's where it's PayPal, credit cards, that kind of thing. And hopefully we'll raise, $260. Yeah? Yeah. If you prefer the United States Mail Service, U.S. Postal Service, you can always send checks and money orders, and several have, to The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. We recommend checks and money orders made payable to The Horn, because I never see it. Boss Man Wayne takes care of all that. Because we share a UPS store, we've got a box there, PMB 318, whereas the Klan has PMB 181, and, they're a thieving lot. So, there we go. Just let me know. Shoot me a note, and I'll tell Boss Man Wayne to be on the lookout. Cool? Cool. That covers all that. Brother Deacon Gerald of the Building and Grounds Committee says, we got a taker? Excellent. $10 on the way, and we'll keep the 20 up there for a couple more subscribers. So, how about that? Re-extended. Brother Deacon Gerald will double your subscription for the next two brand new subscribers at $10 a piece. Thanks, Brother Deacon Gerald. And that after all you did to get the Fellowship Hall kitchen back up and running. We will not have Carol Baker in our midst this evening. She informs me that she has discovered today that she is a wintertime woman. Because lo and behold, apparently downtown Kansas City, Stan, is nowhere you want to be. 100 degrees in Kansas City with a heat index over 120 today. Ron, you might want to go and do some prep time for your time in the sandbox there in Kansas City. Although, I have a feeling Kansas City is probably not nearly as civilized as Abu Dhabi. And stay away from the camel virus this time, Ron. And Ron also notes, based on a previous... based on a previous post over at Facebook, I had a doctor's appointment, my endocrinologist appointment earlier today. She seemed happy. Now go figure this out. I have been very, very, very good. I have knocked my cholesterol down, my overall cholesterol, to 120. I mean, I feel like I'd need at least a participation trophy for that. I mean, here I am. I'm a hillbilly. I'm an Appalachian. I'm Southern. God sausage gravy came out of my mother's breasts when I was born. I'm so Southern. Oh, so that was just gross, wasn't it? That was uncalled for. Oh. But I've got, I've got my cholesterol down to 120. But my triglycerides are still so freaking high that they can't find the one molecule of good cholesterol in amongst all the other bad cholesterol. It remains immeasurable. I am a walking, talking, breathing, thinking, scientific and dietary anomaly. Yeah. But no, yay me for cholesterol down to 120, huh? Unfortunately, my triglycerides, and these are low for me, are down to 475. You know, from 1300. Because I have triglycerides that, you know, the doctor goes, we need to look at your triglycerides. Holy shit! And the blood drains out of his face, or hers. But my endocrinologist has learned a degree of grace and equanimity somewhere along the way. And she just looked at it and said, well, that's considerably better for you, Bob. I said, anything else we can do? No, you're already taking every drug known to man for reducing triglycerides. You're exercising? Yes, I'm exercising. You're watching your diet? Oh, am I watching my diet? Well, you know, you could knock off 40 more pounds. And that would make make probably a difference. 275 points worth of triglycerides difference? No, not really. Not you. No, you're a machine. You're one of those machines that nature designed to just make triglycerides. I said, so you're saying that somewhere back in our evolutionary history, there were animals that needed to be able to feed on the likes of me to make it through the long and cold winters, or the long and hot winters, depending on the climate. She said, exactly. So anyway, had the doctor's appointment. Ferg rode with me just to have some company. And we had lunch afterward. And we, by way of celebrating me not having cholesterol over 200 and not having triglycerides over 1,000, where did we go? Sushi joint. Because, you know, you go with the sashimi, it's just the fish. Okay, I lied. I had to have a couple of rolls, so there was rice involved, but really not that, no. So I posted it on Facebook. Got several responses. I made a point of tagging Tim from L.A. to invite him to see if he would like to have some sushi. And Tim, spitting on 1,000 years of Japanese heritage, said, I don't eat that icky stuff. Ron, in the far and warm enough north to merit probably having one of these ice cold, said, the dead fish and cold rice photo looked wonderful. I've always preferred Asahi or Kirin to Sapporo, but that's just me. Well, Ron, I did too. Well, I was a Sapporo guy. I like that big steel can. I like the dryness of it. It goes so well with dead raw fish. But then... And I mean you no offense, Ron, for you are, yea, verily, dear unto me. Back before globalization, being Japanese beer meant something. Being Australian beer meant something. You know, back in the day, you could get a can of Fastest. It's Australian for beer. With the little kangaroo and the Southern Cross on it and everything. That must be why the mayor of Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, offered to get a kangaroo to console the Australian Olympic team. As Robert in New South Wales noted, most Australians have never seen a kangaroo. I've never seen a purple cow. I hope I never see one, but I can tell you here and now I'd rather see than be one. But anyway, my fastest would come from Australia. No more. For over a decade now, I think. More than, probably. My fastest comes from Canada. You know, down under. In the Australian province of, you know, Ontario. And so today I picked up the Sapporo can thinking, wait a minute, this better not. Ah, damn it! Not that I've got anything against the ability of the Canadians to make beer. They make wonderful beer. Molson this and Moosehead that. But there it was. Sapporo. Brewed in Canada. I kind of gave up on the Kirin Ichiban when I found out that was made by Budweiser. So I guess I'm down to Asahi, which was not on the menu. But anyway, there you have it, the today's adventure. Hey, welcome, Dogman. Welcome to the chat room. The room is populating nicely. Dogman's wandered in. Jules is there. Soapbox Geezer's with us. Tim from L.A. There went Chug a Punch. Must be something I said. No, he's back. This happens sometimes. That would be fine, Tim. Hey, Bob Kincaid, want me to get my relatives to send you some authentic beer? Yes, fine. Yes, please. Yes, please. That would be lovely. My appetizer was a little bit of age tofu. Ferg had the octopus salad. And given the commentary about octopi and what they do to turn what male octopi do to turn girl octopi on, well, it just, you know, well. Yeah, Sparky. I've had Singha. I've also had Ba Mi Ba, but not around here. There was none on the menu, Tim. Tim says, try some natto sushi next time. It was not on the menu. And, of course, I wonder a little bit because, you know, when sushi joints start springing up in West Virginia, you kind of get the idea that something is up. Just like all the Mexican restaurants that all had the same number F typographical error on their menu. You realize that, you know, these are not little necessarily mom and pop operations. Oh, there's my ginger ale. Yes, Hoghead. Hey, that's an idea. Sushi with gravy. Never mind the soy sauce. My triglycerides. But I worry and I wonder because I'm one of those, you know, liberal progressive people. Because the folks working all these new Japanese places that are quite popular, really. Imagine that. I mean, there's one in Beckley, there's one in Charleston, there's one in just about every decent-sized West Virginia city, which I realize even using the word city in West Virginia probably makes people giggle out in civilization. But they're staffed, A, not by hillbillies, B, not by Japanese people. They're staffed by Chinese immigrants. And no, this is not some xenophobic Trumpansy rant about the, you know, them. It's me sitting here worrying. I mean, it's kind of, remember when we talked a year or so ago about the nail industry? Yeah. Oh, thank you. Jules said, from someone in FYI Nation's chat room, House of Roberts says, tell Bob to take niacin for the high triglycerides. I already am. That's what helped get him down to 475. I'm taking everything you can take for triglycerides at the maximum levels. But no, the nail, you know, manicure places turn out to be worker abuse hell holes, right? Well, I can't help looking at these places and wondering, one, what folks are being paid to make something like sushi affordable in a place like West Virginia. Two, whether or not they're getting to take all of their pay home, or if there's some scumbag out there who's skimming 45, 50, 55, 60% off their payday as a fee for bringing them here to the land of the free and the home of the uninsured. Ah, don't worry, if Trump becomes president, we'll all be uninsured. Well, you know, only the poor people. Mm-hmm. I worry. Because I would hate to think that 100 years later, we're still bringing immigrants into West Virginia on the promise of a job and then treating them like crap. Wait a minute. That's Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world and the universe on earth, now, today, forever. Amen. Under God. Use no hooks. Freight on board. COD. Yeah, isn't it? Of course it is. Mm-hmm. Oh, not that. Really, not that, not tonight. That would be power blink number one without a cloud in the sky and not even the first peal of thunder. Yeah, I wonder if a hillbilly's taken out a phone pole. I hope not. Just a little warning. If the power blinks three times here, kind of like it's the Beetlejuice effect, I won't be back. Mm. Oh, the things that get started around here. Brother Deacon Asa says, your point about the globalization of beer is entirely valid. However, allow me to play the enemy's advocate here. I feel better drinking the Sapporo that is brewed with the slightly irradiated waters of Ontario than the Sapporo brewed with the glowing green water in Japan right now. I love Sapporo's distinct bitter personality, by the way. It mirrors my own. Ah, I see what you did there. And, yeah, there's a point. There's a point. I don't know when they started brewing Sapporo in Canada. But, yeah, that makes some sense. So, let's take a look at some correspondence, because I got some nice notes here, and they really do set up the program. Jennifer, up over down under in Australia, our expat American who came back to Merca to struggle mightily to help get Bernie Sanders the Democratic nomination. And a lot of people did, and we just barely fell short, and that was an awesome expression. Kale? Kale, Dogman? Kale? Kale beer? What? Kale for triglyceride? I need context, Dogman, context. But Jennifer is back in Australia. And she writes and says, I lost internet connection during the great culottes skorts debate last night. Got in the car, now parked, after being hung up on by a fellow Bernie campaigner. Not knowing where I was headed, I drove to the side of a road, seat reclined, rain misting the windows as I type. It's what I do to relax. I tried to offer her being the Bernie campaigner on the phone, a rational rationale, thumbnail version. There's one choice when the options are the Black Death versus a temporary illness. I call them the Black Trump virus and the legacy virus, respectively, but learned that one ought not try to make a person laugh about guaranteed destruction with book and TV references when they're, you know, in the mood to be angry. I sympathize, Jennifer continues. I've had my meltdowns over the past few weeks, bouncing back and forth, but have found my way off the ledge with self-administered advice. Go out and talk other people down. It's remedial and regrettable phone calls aside, it's getting easier. Unless the whispers that Trump might bail turn into screams, I'm beginning to think Hillary might not lose this thing after all. Meanwhile, scattered Trumpers are being picked off around the edges. A few more after each outburst, a number of Gold Star families here, a few menstruating or lactating women there. Of course, his rotten core constituents will remain steadfast, but if the nibbling is tenacious, by November the GOP could be a chomped-on, oxidized, cucky-colored husk. That is, if Hillary capitalizes completely and authentically. Yeah, Jennifer notes, there's the rub. A few side-of-the-road musings about how she might increase her odds. One, unpiss off the burners. How? One, really make Debbie Wasserman Schultz actually go all the way away. Two, genuinely endorse a true progressive to replace Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I'd nominate Nina Turner. Three, start demonizing a few demons. The Kochs are easy pickings, but how about a few friends from the ivory tower? If not Lloyd Blankfein, maybe Jamie Dimon or a lower fruit, namely Paul Singer. Four, amend her pledge to repeal Citizens United by retracting her call for a constitutional convention. Is some sort of a national referendum a possibility? No. Five, honestly, stop equivocating, re the TPP and effing fracking. Yeah, I don't see that happening, do you? Me neither. Sadly. Six, encourage and endorse a congressional Black Lives Matter caucus. Call for a federal overhaul of policing and incarceration. Piss off Trumpers. Okay, not the dumb aggrieved rageaholics who become increasingly devout with every gaffe. How? One, call out his mob ties. Talk about crime in broad daylight. It's known, so why is it not news? He's a street thug, a hustling shyster. How hard can it be to reveal what isn't hidden? Come on, make something stick. We need more gems such as comic John Mulaney saying, he's not a rich man, Donald Trump is like what a hobo imagines a rich man to be. Perfection. Hang the Trump University trial around his neck like a snarl of cheap, chintzy gold chains. You know, the ones that turn your neck green after a while. Three, stop letting him spin his bankruptcies into business acumen. Hire a decent spin meister with some of those effing mountains of cash. This, four, this boy man is a goddamned rapist. Can no one do something with that? Five, religious family first people surely can be made to see that he's about as interested in religion as he is in parenthood. There's a, what, 50-year history out there? This is a Muppet who never saw a camera he didn't pose for and who can't keep his mouth shut, but evidence can be found of his miscreancy. Please, swing a dead rat, people. Get busy. Six, not fit for prime time. All caps. Note, I suppose the dumb, aggrieved rageaholics who become increasingly devout with every gaffe can be neutralized, caused to sit out the election, firstly by examining their delusions, stipulated they're simplistically afraid of perceived weakness. They believe he can save them and that he is faultless, but I'd start with this. They believe he is omnipotently strong, incapable of weakness. They believe strength is the complete absence of weakness and define weakness, which I absolutely believe threatens them more than nuclear warheads, as backing down, giving ground, surrender, admitting fault, apologizing. So the tactic would be to force Trump into situations where he must admit fault and apologize. Uh-oh. Good luck with that. Okay, Jennifer says, I've calmed down. I'll drive over to a shopping center where a man from New York I know runs a shoe repair kiosk. Off to see where his head's at, get him signed up at Dems Abroad if he's not yet registered to vote. Key in ignition, chin up. 6, not fit for prime time, asterisk. That mouth of his, that round, puckering, eye-torturing mouth, somebody, more foul than I, needs to point out that it's just begging for someone to stick a cock in it. I know that can't be cleaned up. I even tried. I mean, I tried, Jennifer says, to shove a penis in it, but still, ew! Luckily for us, this is internet radio, and, you know, we can, yes. Mm-hmm. So there's that. Now, we come back around, then, to a, like, 2:30 in the morning communique from Jay Cruzen. Subject line, thanks. We'll file this email under Damning Bob with Faint Praise. Thanks. Oh, I'm sorry, 4 a.m. 4 a.m. here, and I just finished listening to the 5-3 program, 8-3 program I think we're working on. That would be 8, because I'm not sure what I was doing on May the 3rd while I'm working. Thought I'd drop you a line to let you know I appreciate not getting another 3-hour lecture on why I just have to vote for euphemism for Madam Doctor First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton. I was in the middle of writing you on Tuesday night to say I wasn't listening anymore when you switched gears and backed off a bit. I was seriously thinking about telling you you had to go sit in a corner far off in the darker part of my mind with Stephanie Miller while I read a Chris Hedges book. Hartman's got his own corner waiting for him. I thought you and Steph would be able to play nice, though. You see, if there's one thing no human being can stand, it's a constant lecture. So every now and then, I've just been turning you off and picking up a book. Not a bad idea to begin with, actually, but when you just talk about how awful Trump is and leave us burners alone, burners, adjective, people who would rather watch the entire United States political, economic, and social systems burn to the fucking ground than cast a vote for Hillary Clinton, it's probably more effective to get people to vote. Anyway, can't be too long-winded. Got to get back to fighting off the darkness in soon-to-be underwater South Florida. Take care of yourself and keep up the good work. Jay Cruzen. Am I doing and are you listening to the same program? How many times do I have to say, don't care who you vote for? You'll do the right thing or do the wrong thing. There's no middle ground in a binary system. And I don't care what Neil Peart and or Geddy Lee wrote in Free Will. Choosing not to choose is not a choice. That's just staying home. Okay? That's all that is. But I'm not... When has this program ever been the Madam Doctor First Lady Senator Secretary Hillary Clinton fan club? Are we down to that now? That merely suggesting she would be a better president than Donald J. Trump millionaire who owns a mansion and a yacht is that constitutes beating the poor aggrieved burners over the head with the necessity of electing Madam Doctor First Lady Senator Secretary Hillary Clinton? I gotta admit, I'm kind of stymied by that. I mean, I know what I'm gonna do, and what I'm gonna do where I live is a radical act, and I'm okay with a radical act. I'm not okay with a meaningless act. I try not to engage in acts of absurdism. I'm also no good at dadism. You know? But anybody... You know, I don't get that. Another 3-hour lecture on why I just have to vote for Madam Doctor, First Lady, Senator, Secretary Clinton. When have I ever, and I invite you to help, when have I ever given a 3-hour lecture on that? Or for that matter, lectured on anything? This is a conversation. This is not a lecture. The thing about lectures is one person talks and nobody else gets to. I sit here behind the microphone every night and I invite people to engage in conversation, to process on this, to discuss these issues. There's no pleasing people. And, you know, I won't kid you, it's frustrating for me. I've got more time tied up in doing this than anything else I've ever done in my life because I love it that much. And I cherish the community that we've built that much. But I have never seen progressive people tear at themselves at the very fibers that make up the threads of our being. Yanking and hauling on the warp and the woof of our community as I've seen in the last, 8-9 months. It makes me wonder. Oh, yeah, it makes me wonder. And suddenly I hear, Led Zeppelin and Stairway to Heaven inside my head for the last million times. Oh, no, Jack, that's fighting words. Jack in Shreveport says, do you and Rents have something in common? Maybe. The word for the day is apoplectic. If that's not how you feel, at least the word sounds funny. I have nothing in common. My Priebus does not need rinsing. I scrub it thoroughly and quite often rather fast. From Ron in the far and comfy north. For Christ's sake, people, just vote. Granted, I'm going to absentee vote for Hillary just to cancel my mom's vote in Boner's Ohio district. But the important thing is that I intend to vote. If you don't vote, you don't have any right to bitch about the results. Brother Deacon Gerald, chairman of the Building and Grounds Committee, says, Bob, I was a Bernie bro through and through. However, I've moved on. Bernie lost, and it's time to put it behind us. We just need to remember this movement he has created and keep it going forward with the next election. Vote for Hillary or don't. It's your vote. Do with it as you please. I know who I'm voting for in November. With all that said, rest assured I won't forget what happened during these primaries. Nor should you. As Jane Sanders told Rolling Stone this week or last, she doesn't want any of the of Bernie's supporters to forget what happened in these primaries or to just get over it. It needs to be a motivating tool. But I wonder, given the degree of vitriol and hatred, and what bothers me probably the most is the repetition of right-wing talking points by burners who, honest to God, don't know better, new to the process, don't pay much attention, didn't ever before, and so anything out there that was negative about Hillary, they just picked it up and ran with it. There's plenty negative about Hillary, but there's no sense in repeating the filth that's been generated for 25 years by the multi-million dollar Clinton filth machine funded by billionaires like Richard Mellon Scaife and pumped and primed by the likes of Roger Ailes and Newt Gingrich. But I wonder if this primary would have been this vitriolic had Bernie simply stayed home. I suspect it wouldn't have, because the right wing would not have had all those new minds upon whom to prey. I mean, I got plenty of reason to be pissed off. West Virginia's votes were outright stolen on the floor of the convention, and that was wrong and nasty. But am I going to let my anger, my inchoate anger, translate into a willingness to screw millions of people in this country because, you know, I'm angry? I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And you need to go to your window and fling it open and yell, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And then what? Right. Meanwhile, a lovely note from our buddy Joy. Finally caught up on the podcast. Now I understand that the family folks came to you as opposed to you going to the folks. I bet you enjoyed the hell out of that visit with the babies, and oh, hot damn the food. Oh, I'm still thinking about the food. That shrimp. Also, very stoked that you mentioned The Nick a couple of shows ago. It was one of the best series on the planet, and sadly, I don't see any way in hell they can ever bring it back. And that's true. But still, there's two seasons of great, great, great television there. But most of all, Joy says, I want to thank you for helping me calm the fuck down. The anger over everything with Bernie is very blinding, and it took a tremendous force of will to turn away from pointing at the unfairness of the Bernie story and refocus, and to understand that there is absolutely not a single solitary thing I can do to make him president or change a single thing about how we got here. The best thing I can do, the only thing I can do, is to accept that in a few months my entire world will be run by President Clinton or President Pence. Period. Anger, screaming, petitions, pouting, stomping, voting green. None of that will change the fact that in a few months, my entire world will be run by President Clinton or President Pence, period. Yes, the specter of President Pence was for me a much-needed short, sharp shock. Your calm reason and your compassion for those of us who hung on to the anger longer than we should have really helped me get here to the acceptance stage of grief. The hill bots that were screaming at us burners and insulting us were not helpful. Oh, hell no. Look, the hill bots were taking marching orders and continue to take marching orders from David goddamn Brock, okay? The guy is somebody that you would not even want to allow around your children. He's vile. He's a filth merchant. It's what he was when he was sliming Anita Hill, and it's what he was when he was sliming Bernie Sanders. Period. He's scum of the earth. He's scum of the earth that's a millionaire, but he's still scum of the earth because of who he is and what he does. And so naturally, his minions were going to reflect the scum of the earth that he is. It's not like he turned his powers for evil to powers for good. He just decided to do a different kind of evil. So, yeah, the Hill bots were not helpful. And in fact, Joy continues, only made those of us with Irish blood dig in our heels deeper. Didn't do much for the Scots among us either, Joy. So I just wanted to say thanks. Your approach matters so much in this chaotic soup sandwich in which we live. I have a feeling, knowing Joy, that autocorrect got her and turned shit sandwich into soup sandwich. Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, Joy, but I'm betting you got auto-corrected right there as you were hitting send. Yeah, Brother Deacon Gerald says, tell us how you really feel about David Brock. God almighty, I would not eat asparagus for 4 days and piss down that man's throat if his guts were on fire. No. So you see a broad range there of what's going on, and as a program that is decidedly progressive and that has a standing ban of right wingers and has for years. It's, I'd like to say surprising, but not. I'd like to say shocking, but not. But having been engaged for well over a decade in trying to perform an experiment to find out if progressive people can form a cohesive civil community. Well, it ain't shocking, and it ain't surprising, but it's damn sure depressing. And while all these years I've enjoyed the hell out of getting behind the microphone most evenings, this is the closest I've come to this just not being fun. That doesn't mean I'm going anywhere, but it means that, you know, now to November, 90 however minutes away it is, days away it is, is going to feel like a frog march through hell. See, you can't win. I just got a response from Jay Cruzen. You can't win. Even after reiterating that I don't give a flying fuck who you vote for. I get this. I sent you a... Now, wait a minute. I sent you a compliment. You're doing now what I was referring to. You're once again lecturing. Get over it. Hillary's a fascist close to the level of Trump, and in a way worse. Trump does not want to be president, never has. No, see, I don't need the funny voice for this. I'm lecturing? There's no lecture in here. There's nobody on the phones. What do you want me to do? Recite fucking limericks? I can probably find a credible translation of the Odyssey or the Iliad. Which do you like, the Iliad or the Odyssey? Or should we go for fucking Beowulf? I guess the mere mention of Madam Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton constitutes lecturing. And I'm sorry, Jay Cruzen, buddy. We're pals and everything, but I'm not going to be able to get through the next 90 days just not mentioning her name and pretending that the binary choice isn't the binary choice. Sorry. Jay Cruzen continues and says, personally, I believe the conspiracy side of it. Trump is a distraction created by the Clintons just to fool people out of real change yet again. Maybe. I found interesting Joy's use of the concept of President Clinton versus President Pence. Because a few weeks ago, I started saying that that his vice presidential choice would have a greater chance of becoming president of the United States than any vice president in recent memory. Even Pappy Bush, after Hinckley used such shitty aim. Guy had no business with a gun in his hand. Got one. Mark David Chapman had no business with a gun in his hand. Got one. Oh, well. Because, see, that's what it's going to be. I didn't get around to it yesterday evening, but there are swirling rumors that... Trump is just not interested in being president and might bail out. That his senior staff are in a state of total depression and disarray. So maybe Joy's got the best handle on it of all. President Clinton versus President Pence. You want to talk conspiracies? Maybe this whole thing was a way the right wing came up with to sneak a hardcore, ultra-right wing evangelical fundamentalist, amosexual, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christian into the Oval Office. How's that for a conspiracy? And you know what? President Pence scares me more than President Trump. Because that son of a bitch has sat in the Congress and he's been a governor. He wasn't very good at either of them, but he does know how it works. Consider, there's audio out there of Mike Pence telling the world that he owed his congressional seat to Rush Limbaugh. Ponder that conspiracy for a little while. See where it takes you. Hint, it's not a nice place. Not at all. Oh, there you go. Dogman points out, let's not forget the fascist guy gets to keep the money and the tax write-offs. It's a lovely little dodge, isn't it? Asa writing in says, some people get so goddamn toxic in their little political nooks. Hey, that may be, yeah. Brother Deacon Gerald says, President Pence would be like a John Hinckley Jr. with better aim. Yep, and a magic gun whose bullets were pointed at all of us. With an extra barrel for every person in America with a vagina. But I think we need to backtrack a little bit here. With the latest kerfuffle, and it was slimy, of the trashing of Mr. and Mrs. Khan. There's been a whole lot of for-profit media hand-wringing over how awful it was. And it was awful. Sliming the parents of a dead soldier who made the ultimate sacrifice in the name of the United States, and who did so of his own free will. That's filthy. But here on this Thorn in the Side Thursday, a reminder. Does anybody remember how Republicans shit all over Cindy Sheehan? How long has it been since you thought of that name, Cindy Sheehan? A woman who stood in lonely opposition to George W. Bush, Count Dicula, Kinda Sleazy Rice. Goes great with Kinda Sleazy Chicken. Don Rumfield, Paul Wolfowitz, and that whole scummy, murderous gang of bloodthirsty goddamn ghouls who created every last bit of every problem we have right now in the Middle East. Anybody remember Cindy Sheehan? Sliming Gold Star Mamas is nothing new to the GOP. It's not something Donald Trump brought with him. Sliming the families of fallen service members is just Thursday in the Republican Party. Stop it! Anybody remember back during the debate on the expanded CHIPS program, S-CHIPS? I can't remember the little guy's name, but he spoke to Congress, did he not? In support of the S-CHIP expansion, because the CHIPS program, he alleged, had saved his life. What happened to him after he did that? America's anchor baby, Michelle Malkin, stalked him, did everything short of peering through his bedroom window in Maryland. You want to get conspiratorial? How about this? How about the fact that Donald Trump is so goddamned hateful, so absolutely nasty, so vile, so filthy, that he's allowing the GOP to rebrand as shocked, I tell you, shocked, to find out that this nefarious business is going on? It's the same old GOP, for Christ's sakes. There's not a dime's bit of difference between the GOP of Ronald Reagan, the GOP of Lee Atwater and Pappy Bush, and the GOP of Donald Trump, except for the fact that maybe the other bunches were better at it. I mentioned the other night the Bush campaign sending out those whispers in South Carolina. Did you know that John McCain has a Negro baby? So please, for fuck's sake, let's stop with the silliness that there's anything new in this slimy, sleazy, filthy, god-awful GOP, current iteration of the GOP political season. Because there's not. Oh, well, we've got other stuff to get into this evening. Thanks very kindly to Brother Deacon Gerald. He came through on his promised doubling of the new subscription. So, $250 to go. $250 to go fundraising this evening. 10 at 25, 25 at 10. For all I know, this political season may see the undoing of every progressive radio program out there that isn't sponsored by people hawking Buy Gold Now. Or General Steel Buildings, or Lumber Liquidators, or Bose Wave Radios. Because this political season, we are far more fractured, we progressives, than Republicans ever are. Because I want you to remember something. I don't care how many big-name Republicans you see out there saying, oh, well, that Trump has certainly crossed the line. As a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christian Republican, I just don't see how I can ever vote for him. Bullshit! They will line up, baby. Oh, sunshine. They will run to the polls. They won't walk and they won't crawl. They will run. And where they go to the polls, there won't be any standing in line for 8, 10, 12 hours. There won't be any voter intimidation. They'll just sashay their white Republican asses to the polls, and they will vote for Donald J. Trump, millionaire who owns a mansion and a yacht. And they'll do it with a shit-eating grin on their face like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush, because they are goddamned Republicans, and that is what they always do. And they'll vote for every godforsaken Republican down the ballot. Because they are Republicans, and that is what they do. Their precious morals, their darling consciences, weren't a damned bit bothered any of the other times that GOP presidential candidates slimed somebody. But suddenly, you're willing to be taken in, you're willing to be conned, you're willing to be suckered into the notion that they've developed a conscience? Oh, baby! Have I got a bridge to sell you? You're gonna So, why don't we take a break from the filibobster? It's Thursday. Let me see here. Need to check and see if we've... Yeah, there it is. Cool. Being a Thursday, We have the Green News Report coming up with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. And you are more than welcome to join in after the Green News Report. You know how to reach the program, I trust. On the stress line, 304-663-4676. 304-663-HORN. And the other line, 304-574-8178. As well as Skype. Skype to Skype from anywhere on the planet. Bob Kincaid Horn. Bob Kincaid Horn. B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. And we can engage in a little conversation, and maybe the program won't feel so much like a lecture. So, a little music. Brad and Desi, and then hopefully your calls. This is, after all, listener-supported conversation radio with $240 to go in fundraising for the evening. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Thursday, August 4, 2016.
And we're not done. We're a long way from done. We're way far from done.
New criminal charges for state employees in the Flint, Michigan water crisis. $170 million fine for Kalamazoo River tar sands pipeline spill. Young voters don't see a difference between Clinton and Trump on climate change. Plus,
the wind kills all your birds. All your birds killed.
Donald Trump pushes tired old myths about renewable energy.
All of those tired old myths and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
And you know, when you have clean call, you're talking about a fraction of the cost.
Really? Sounds good. When you have clean coal, let me know. Until then, this is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, after all of these years, I'm sure you're tired of all of these tired old myths. But they don't ever seem to die. No matter how tired, no matter how old they are, if they tell them on Fox News, they keep getting told. And now they keep getting told by Donald Trump.
Yep. If you are a regular listener to the Green News Report, you already know that house cats kill far more birds than wind turbines. So do skyscrapers. You also know that the price of solar energy and wind energy is plummeting and is now competitive with or cheaper than dirty, polluting, conventional fossil fuels. But those facts clearly have not reached Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump.
The alternative is so expensive. It's so expensive. And honestly, it's not working so good. I know a lot about solar. I love solar. But the payback is what? 18 years. Oh, great. Let me do it. 18 years. The wind kills all your birds. All your birds killed.
Of course, in reality, rooftop solar panel prices are rapidly falling and now pay for themselves on average in less than 9 years. And wind turbines don't kill all the birds. Far from it. So why does Donald continue to repeat these tired old myths? Because he likes recycling.
There you go. He's also because he's a tired old man. But did you say that skyscrapers kill more birds than wind turbines?
Exponentially more.
The type of skyscraper, for example, that Donald Trump builds all over the world?
Yep.
He's killing all your birds. All your birds!
Although the national political conventions over the last 2 weeks demonstrated stark differences between Democrats and Republicans on climate, many young voters apparently don't know that. According to a new poll by youth climate activist group Next Gen Climate, 44% of millennial voters living in battleground states believe that there's no difference between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump on climate change. So, hey, millennials, Clinton accepts climate science and wants to expand renewable energy. Trump calls climate science a hoax and wants to expand fossil fuels.
Now, a lot of those millennials are critical of Hillary Clinton that she hasn't done enough or won't do enough on climate change. Any thoughts on that?
Yes, it's true. She does not go nearly far enough. However, that doesn't mean she's a climate science denier, just like Donald Trump is.
Fair enough.
Accountability in the Flint water crisis, Michigan's attorney general has indicted 6 more current and former state employees, including the top official in charge of drinking water quality. They are charged with falsifying water tests, obstruction of justice, and covering up warning signs of lead contamination in the Flint water supply. At a press conference announcing the new charges, Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette said they're not done yet.
Now, we've now charged 9 people. With crimes, and we filed a civil suit against 2 companies that had the knowledge and the ability to stop the problem, but they failed. And we're not done. We're a long way from done. We're way far from done.
But are they done cleaning up the water in Flint, Michigan?
No, there is still a problem with Flint's water. A sort of fracking apology from former Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell. He was speaking at a fossil fuel industry-sponsored event during the Democratic convention, and in a surprise admission, Rendell said he, quote, made a mistake when, as governor, he rammed through permits for fracking and said he didn't regulate well construction or toxic fracking wastewater as well as it should have been because he was in a rush to get the economic benefits. The admission comes too little too late for residents, however. According to DeSmogBlog.com, Pennsylvania state regulators have confirmed at least 200 cases of water contamination caused by fracking. Finally, Enbridge, the company responsible for the 2010 tar sands pipeline oil spill in Michigan that fouled 40 miles of the Kalamazoo River and is still not cleaned up. Enbridge has reached a settlement with the Justice Department and the EPA over the spill. They'll pay more than $170 million in fines, penalties, and pipeline upgrades. That's in addition to a $75 million state fine. However, that total in fines and penalties is still about $150 million less than Enbridge made in profits in the fourth quarter of last year.
Man, probably also a tax write-off for them, and nobody's going to jail, I'm guessing?
Nope.
Imagine that. Much more on all of these stories and more that we didn't have time for at our website, greennews.bradblog.com. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I got a gal
in Kalamazoo.
Don't want to boast, but I know she's a toast of
Kalamazoo. Jesus, God, at least it's not, at least it is not Pat Boone. Yes, that's how far the standards have fallen. I don't mean the song standards. I mean, at least it wasn't Pat Boone. Take me down to the Paradise City. Oh, Jesus. This is the horn for August the 4th, 2016. We do have news to go into, but before we do, let's go over to the stress line and check in with Jim. Hey, Jim.
Bob, is that you?
That's me. Is that you?
I hope so. Unless I've just flown the planet.
Well, then I think we've got the preliminaries covered.
Okay, you sound a little garbled there in transmission. Number one, Rufus said to tell you thank you very much, and also. As far as Mr. Trump is concerned, well, I mean, after all, he is a man of wealth and taste, and let's afford him a little sympathy.
Yeah.
Not.
but you know, that's a real insult to the Prince of Darkness, Jim.
Well, I mean, that's how it was intended, but, you know, I mean, like I say,
somewhere in hell, Satan just looked up and went, wait, they're comparing that to me? No respect. Get me Dangerfield on the line.
Well, you know how it is. I mean, the devil takes it wherever he can. But this man, you know, when he started calling people devils and stuff like that, he's really opened himself up to a lot of stuff. And I honestly and truly think this guy is losing it.
You know, one of the things that never gets mentioned, everybody, you know, Hillary Clinton's 68. Oh, my God, Bernie's 74. Nobody ever mentions Trump's age.
I don't know. I can't quite understand you, but
How old is Donald Trump?
I'd say he's pushing 70 if he's got a day on him.
Bingo.
72. Huh?
Exactly. He's 70. But nobody mentions his age.
Oh, no. I mean, you know, good Lord, he thinks he's like 52 or something like that. I mean, he's been through three wives, got three children by him. I mean, he's just a paragon of moral turpitude, is he not?
Even turpitude runs away from him.
I know, like turpentine. Well, I'd love to give him a dose of it right now in his throat or give him an enema with it. I shouldn't have said that, but... I see at the end of August that he's going to lose 3,000 employees or 3,000 employees at his Taj Mahal, that vaunted palace or whatever you want to call it.
Well, but isn't he just more like losing licensing fees because Carl Icahn owns the Trump Taj Mahal?
Well, that's it, you know. And, of course, you know, Trump will probably make out with a bundle with his whole thing and... you know, that's just what he is. He's nothing but a shyster. He is a fraud. The man will not reveal his taxes. Excuse me. And he is a complete asshole. That's all I. That's the only words that I can use to describe him. He's just an asshole.
Among, yeah, well, I think there are other words, some of which you might be more or less willing to employ, but he is most assuredly that. This latest that he admits, yeah, I hate kids, that he paid his wives to raise his children.
Oh, yeah, well, you saw how he did it with the baby thing, but it one of his claverns.
Right.
I love babies. Get that baby out of here.
Yeah, I think she thought I was serious that I like babies. I don't get the kid out of here.
I'll tell you one thing. That man, I hope, will just continue to self-destruct. But as you said earlier, now, Pence, if they put him his ass in there, now, he's another card out of the tarot deck that I wouldn't care to pull.
Oh, no, he's dangerous. He's a theocrat. He's a Christian mullah in a dark suit.
Well, you're right there. And hell, as far as I've ever come to in any way remotely supporting Rush Limbaugh, it's the fact that I do drink Snapple. But I mean, this guy, I'll tell you who he reminds me of. And this isn't really heavy or anything like that. Remember that movie From Rush with Love?
Oh yeah, yeah. That was one of the Roger Moore.
No, that was Sean Connery.
Was it Sean Connery?
Uh huh. 62. And remember that guy that was sent to kill him, Nash by Rosa Klebb?
Yeah.
Pence looks just like him. He's played by Robert Shaw.
Oh my God! He does look like Robert Shaw, Jim.
I mean, God! I mean, you know, he kept calling Sean Connery old man and this, that, and the other, and finally Sean Connery got him with a knife blade out of his briefcase and let him loose a couple of pints of blood. But I mean, he looks just like him.
Well, he doesn't look far different from him in a good Wehrmacht uniform in Battle of the Bulge either.
No. As that German tank commander. I mean...
Chocolate cake, Manfred. Chocolate cake.
Uh-huh. Rode a tank, held the general's rank while the Blitzkrieg raced and the body stank. Pleased to meet you, America. A little simply for me.
Yeah, and interestingly, while I guess Trump terrified the hell out of people with his why can't we use nukes questions, remember, Mike Pence is the kind of guy who would use them to make, because he believes that if he can just get a big enough world war going, Jesus will come back, Jim. Now, I know your particular brand doesn't buy into that millennial, post-millennial apocalyptic crap, but there's
Look, Bob, more than you realize, and there are a lot of people who really, agree with you on that. And you know, that's fine. But dealing in the world of reality, Pence, good Lord, no wonder they selected him.
It's got to give every woman in America, who values her rights as a human being, chills. I'm not talking about the Stepford women of the Republican Party, mind you.
Well, I'm not sure I quite heard what you said, because, like I say, our transmissions are garbled.
Well, it's this box, and I don't know what's wrong with it, and dadgummit.
Well,
Pence is terrifying to women. He should be terrifying to gays and infuriating. He should be terrifying to anybody who wants to lead their lives absent the influence of religion.
But I would like to say one thing, if I may, in defense of Secretary Dr. Clinton. You know, that lady is not perfect by any means. She's made a lot of mistakes. She put up with a lot of crap with her husband's philandering. But she stood by him, and she had the guts and the know-it-all and the wherewithal to swallow her pride to do that, because she had a family and this, that, and the other. And like I said before, she's made mistakes. Hell, Bob, I've dealt with classified stuff coming in, and a lot of it is not designated. And I can understand where the errors can be, because as it goes up the chain, it loses a lot in translation and format. But nonetheless, I'm glad she's there. We could do a hell of a lot worse. I'm sorry that Bernie's not there, but we're just going to have to give that up, and let's hope that Bernie can, in his second bid for the Senate, can exert a positive influence, probably much more so than he could if he were her vice president. But nonetheless, I think Mr. Trump's sins are finding him out, and I hope they continue to do so.
Well, I do too. I do too. You know, it would thrill me to no end if Hillary opened up a 30-point gap so that all the everybody could run out who wanted to and vote for Jill Stein with a clear conscience and not worry about screwing millions of people out of their health care.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've always wanted to have a woman as president ever since Geraldine Ferraro. God bless her. Rest in peace. And I have thought that that would be a good idea. Other nations have women in very important positions. And it's time for a woman to have a chance at this job. Not just because she's a woman, but because of equality and those other things that have hurt women and the feelings that have prevented them from going to the top in the past.
Right. Well, I always believe in the benefits of maximizing the potential of the entire talent pool and suggesting that the presidency should be limited to men who are pasty-faced and you know, doughy, and eliminating the brilliance of the community of color or the brilliance of the community of women. Well, that's in the modern era, that's just stupid, Jim.
It is stupid. And listen, you've got a short program tonight. Wish your friends in Atlanta, Mr. Malloy and Kathy, the very best. And by the way, congrats on your stats. Keep it up.
All right, I appreciate it. I was kind of surprised. All we got to do is get those triglycerides down, and I'll be rocking.
Well, keep it up. It must be working.
All right, thank you, Jim. And
out here.
My best regards to Brother Rufus.
Brother Rufus is right here, and he's listening to every word you're saying, and his ears are popped up, and his whiskers are at 180 degrees.
That's a fine cat. You take care, Jim.
God bless you.
Bye now. Our buddy Jim from not too terribly far from here. Both lines open, and we've got about 26 minutes of conversation available to us if you want to get involved before I take an hour break to fire up for the Malloy program. I know everybody else as well as I and Jim mentioning it there. Wish Mike a speedy recovery. It's hell being in this business, and you know, Sergeant Carter, I can't sing. No, just didn't work. But yeah, get well quick, Mike. What else? What else? I had mentioned that I had a little bit of news relating to mountaintop removal that I thought you might find interesting. Because this proves the power of determination and grassroots activism. Our buddy, our longtime buddy, Jug of Punch, is in the chat room right now. And Jug and his lovely wife came down from Ohio, year and a half. Well, March will be 2 years, I guess. Came down from Ohio for something that was called the People's Foot Rally. And that rally was meant to sort of light a fire under the butts of people who are in charge of issues relating to public health because of what what we've learned about what mountaintop removal does to human beings who have to live with the fallout of all the hellish blasting that goes on with a mountaintop removal operation. There was a lot of advocacy attached to that. And you can sort of say that it's panned out, that it's paid off. There were a couple of hundred of us at the People's Foot Rally, but there's been a lot of work that's gone on in the background as well, trying to get people to pay attention to that health, those health impacts. Well, there was a pretty surprising announcement from the Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement, generally referred to as OSMRE. Remember that the AIC Act, which many of you have been involved in supporting, and in supporting the AIC campaign in its work in Washington, D.C. Remember that the AIC Act has at its core a mandate for a fully funded federal health study to determine why it is that people who live near mountaintop removal operations so often get so sick. Well, yesterday, this press release was put out by OSMRE, and it is a direct result of the advocacy done by citizens. This is the true effect of grassroots organizing. For anybody who thinks that there's no point to it, this is a direct refutation. But also, it's a reminder that when you stick your neck out to do this kind of thing, when you give of yourself, when you take the risks, and you pour in the blood, sweat, toil, and tears, the returns on your investment are so near to never immediate as to make any other, but it ain't immediate. Things don't happen overnight. There is an obvious analogy to be drawn here. Tremendous progress has been made in the last 8 months. No, we didn't get everything we wanted, but we got a hell of a lot more than we had when we started. And so, to a certain extent, that is the case here. Just going to read you the press release. Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement funds National Academy of Sciences study of potential health risks related to surface coal mining in central Appalachia. $1 million study responds to state request. Dateline, Washington, D.C. At the request of the state of West Virginia, Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement will fund an independent examination of existing research concerning the potential correlation between increased human health risks and living near surface coal mine sites in central Appalachia. The $1 million study will be conducted by the National Academy of Sciences over a two-year period. This kind of project represents the best of the Surface Mining Control and Reclamation Act, which was signed into law 39 years ago today, said OSMRE Director Joe Pizarczyk. West Virginia asked us in the federal government for help. We wanted to do the best we could for the people, so we brought the National Academy of Sciences on board because they are one of the world's most reputable scientific organizations. Good things happen when we work together. The state of West Virginia originally made a formal written request for the Obama administration's help in 2015. Similar studies are also being conducted by the Centers for Disease Control and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Under the agreement between OSMRE and the NAS, the Academy will independently choose a committee of 12 subject matter experts to examine a growing amount of academic research that relates to possible correlations between increased health risks as a result of living near surface coal mine operations. The committee will identify gaps in the research and consider options for additional examination to address concerns about potential public health effects. The committee will not consider the occupational health aspects of workers at coal mines, which makes sense. This is going to be an examination of why innocent people are made so very sick by simply trying to live their lives next to the outlaws, the predators of the coal industry in central Appalachia. While OSMRE will oversee the cooperative agreement with NAS, it will not have a role in the research, the development of the final report, or identification of any findings that may result from the study. The experts will have backgrounds in areas such as, but not limited to, mining engineering, exposure science, epidemiology, public health, environmental medicine, statistics, and regulatory decision-making. Experts will come from academia, state government agencies, industry, and other non-governmental organizations. None of the experts participating, this is important, none of the experts participating in the NAS committee will be active members of the coal industry or any governmental agency that regulates coal mining. The committee of experts will hold four town hall-styled hearings to gather information from the public about the potential effects on human health associated with coal mining. The NAS committee will announce public meeting dates. OSMRE will share additional information as it becomes available. The NAS study builds on ongoing administration efforts to assist communities impacted by surface coal mining, especially those in Appalachia. The Power Plus plan, which the president proposed in his fiscal year 16 and fiscal year 17 budget requests, calls for investing in worker training and job creation, strengthening the health and retirement security of mine workers and their families, and accelerating the cleanup of abandoned mine lands to remove impediments to economic development. The state of West Virginia made that request after the People's Foot Rally in Charleston in 2015. Reality. Before she died, Judy Bonds had a moment similar to that of Dr. King when she said, "I will not live to see the end of mountaintop removal, but I know that we must end it." And among the last things she said before she died, she said, "Fight harder." We took her at her word. We didn't flag. We drove ourselves to points of near exhaustion and outright exhaustion. Along the way, others in the movement died. Others came in. But I would like for this to stand as a reminder that even the most hopeless battles, and if any struggle may be deemed to be hopeless, my God, a bunch of little penniless, powerless hillbillies standing up against billionaire coal corporations must certainly be deemed that. And simply getting the federal government to acknowledge that there is enough of a problem to warrant spending $1 million going through the research. Well, it's not a win, but you can rest assured that it is a thorn in the side to the predators in the coal industry. Remember the National Mining Association? Well, you may recall that back when the birth defect study came out, they had one of their pet law firms, an outfit called Cowell Mooring in Washington, D.C. Issue a press release. The National Mining Association said that the birth defect study wasn't valid because the researchers hadn't taken into account the propensity that people in Appalachia have for having sex with their kinfolk. Oh, they're not very happy about this little announcement from Ozamri. You might say they're downright pissed off. But it's going to happen. Here's what the National Mining Association said.
We welcome any legitimate effort to improve health and safety in and around mines, something the industry is continually working on each day. Also helpful to this administration would be studies showing the heavily documented evidence of health effects from joblessness, declining living standards, and the despair they create in coal communities. At the same time, we question the value of assigning a health study to a committee comprised of experts in statistics and regulatory decision-making who will spend $1 million to do nothing more than hold public hearings and re-examine existing academic research.
Shall I translate that into hillbilly for you?
Why in the hell's that Kenyan Muslim, you slurper, in our White House going to spend $1 million of our taxpayer dollars to find out why a bunch of tree-hugging hillbillies get sick? Who gives a damn? What we need to find out is why that Kenyan Muslim, you slurper, done put all our hard-working miners out of work. Where'd the coal go? Where'd he take it? Why is he a-hiding it?
You might find it interesting to note that the coal industry spent $15 million in a project headquartered at Virginia Tech University called Ares. Whose sole purpose was to try to refute those existing academic research papers. They couldn't do it. They couldn't refute it. So instead, they could have taken that $15 million, and wow, that would have gone a long way in helping that joblessness and declining living standards and the despair in coal communities. They didn't. And no, the industry is not continually working on how to keep people who have to breathe their filthy dust from getting grievously ill. They're not, because they don't give a damn. The National Mining Association doesn't represent working people. The National Mining Association represents mining companies, and mining companies care about one thing and one thing only: profits. And that is all. Note coming from Steve, a member of the Fraternity of Steve, subject on Trump-like age. Trump turned 70 June 14th, and yeah, the wig, the skin paste, the cosmetically submerged skin, all marks of the old man fleeing time, a death mask groomed for public office. Great female beauty occasionally survives the years. Sophia Loren always comes to mind for me. But a wrinkled, shriveled, paint and drool dripping bastard of a male, all ugliness, something between allegory and cartoon. Regards, Steve in China. Thank you, Steve. And yet, plenty of talk about Bernie's age, plenty of talk about Hillary's age, hardly ever a peep about T-Rump's age. And I think there's an argument to be made that senile dementia may be setting in. Or, I don't know, based on the way the guy's lived, maybe the spirochetes are just partying in his cerebellum. Huh? It's worth thinking about. All right, then. We'll have to knock off for this Thorn in the Side Thursday this evening. Thanks, everybody, for joining in. Let's see here. Jay Cruzen wants the last word. He says, I just want to know, what about my email set you off so bad? All I can figure is your insecurity in choosing to support Hillary Clinton. So thanks for setting up the straw man and knocking it down, Jay Cruzen. That's not it at all. I said very clearly what annoyed me. The fact that for some people out there, the mere mention of her name sends them into paroxysms of unreasonability. I recognize an unfortunate duality, a binary choice, when I see one. And it annoyed me, this notion that somehow or another I'm lecturing over Hillary in Hillary's favor. I've hardly said a kind word about the woman. But apparently, anything short of "Hillary is the devil" is insufficient for some. Jay Cruzen also suggested that I go and take a break and read a good Hedges book. I suggest Death of the Liberal Class. Why, actually, Jay Cruz, and I've already read it, I've got a signed copy after a conversation that I had with Chris Hedges down in Institute, West Virginia, a couple of years back. I understand Chris Hedges' position. I think him rather a bit of a nihilist. But I understand why he is the nihilist that he is. He sees no way out. He sees no way forward. The problem with being human beings is that we are not Tralfamadorians, and we do not experience time as a mutable shifting sense. So well, it's like I wish somebody happy birthday the other day, and they said, "Well, getting older." And I said, "Beats the hell out of the alternative." And they said, "That it does. There's no going backwards. There is no backward turn backward. Oh, time in thy flight, make me a child again just for one night. That is a wish, not an incantation." It's one choice. That way lies the future. Climb or die. There's no hanging out on the rock face halfway up. So, there you go. Some lovely photos. Or definitions, rather. Of sushi coming from Steve in China. He says, "Some of these variations on traditional sushi have me thinking of a few experiments myself. Besides, had to sneak the food porn in sometime." Regards, Steve in China. Clarence says, "I don't, I will. Bob, I don't want to vote for Hillary for HRC, but I will. Here's why. I'm a 65-year-old U.S. Air Force veteran who served in Vietnam, Thailand, Korea, Japan, and the Philippines. I've participated and witnessed the might of the imperial machine, so I cannot even begin to wrap my head around Trump having the control of the U.S. military power. The primary reason I'm voting for HRC is the Supreme Court. I'm also an African-American from the depressed urban neighborhood of North Philadelphia, PA. I'm very familiar with Clinton's history. I have many friends who served time during that time of unfair judicial decisions for black and brown citizens. If that court ends up with appointments from Trump, people of color, women, gay, and anyone who does not have money or connections to power will be relegated to second-class status. The laws that protect the right of surviving in America will unravel in favor of the ruling class. Trump is simply not the way." Which reminds me, on the way out the door, that there's been some talk of, well, what would, you know, at least the military would stop Trump if he tried to do something stupid. One, to say that is to forget that the United States military has been completely infiltrated by the Christian Dominionist, if not outright Reconstructionist, wing of evangelicalism. Just ask Mikey Weinstein over at the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, why don't you? Two. Even if the military were to try to depose Trump, what do you do after that? Because you must admit the military are rather they're rather fond of order and rules. So they depose Trump. Well, you get Pence. You depose Pence. Well, you get Paul Ryan. Okay, not Paul Ryan. Mitch McConnell. See how it becomes a bit of a problem? There's no way out. Our governmental structure doesn't allow, say, for a military coup where they say, General Thumbfingers, call Hillary Clinton. No, better yet, call Barack Obama. Because the only way that happens is if the entire Constitution is out the damn door. That's a real party to think about, isn't it? All right, 8 o'clock here on the East Coast, in the hills, here in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. Time to get out of here. We'll fire up the campfire over at Malloy's place in about an hour. Thanks, everybody, for joining in. Come tomorrow for Friday on the Front Porch. The fundraising goal will be $450. Hopefully we won't crawl in too deep a hole this month. Thanks, y'all. Have a great evening. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, everybody.